Ukrainians, Identity and Dignity podcast is on the air. It's been quite a long time since we've begun to unveil Ukraine and its relentless struggle for its freedom. What makes Ukrainians who they are? I will answer it with ease. It's their sense of dignity and freedom-loving. Still, we have a whole bunch of ideas to share with you, so we continue to discover Ukraine. This discovery is about a new portion of Russian narratives in our rubric War Explained. Yet today it's going to be a bit more thrilling than it was before. First, now you are invited to listen to our podcast in two languages, English and German. Search for Die Ukraine Identität und Würde on any podcast platforms. And the second surprise is... Irtsa, your turn!
Hello, I'm Irtsa, co-founder of a charitable foundation Save Art UA. I really loved your podcast, so I thought, why not collaborate with you? And what makes our project similar is a common desire not only to protect Ukrainian land, but its culture.
Yeah, war unleashed by Russia is not about territorial integrity only. It hurts me when I realize that by eliminating the land, Russia touches the culture. Our ancestors hardly preserved it throughout many centuries. But you know what? If a nation loses its culture through time, it disappears. Since Ukrainian culture bears irresistible power, Russians seek to destroy it and claim there is no such country as Ukraine.
I agree, but Ukrainians won't let it happen. So our mission is to demythologize three common Russian-launched narratives about Ukraine's culture that we find the most dangerous. Do you wanna go first?
Yes, I don't quite get it when someone says that Ukrainian culture is provincial and inferior to the culture of the great empire. What do you think about this?
Well, Ukrainian culture is definitely one of the main goals of the Russians in the war. The myth that it's just a part of Russian culture has been formed over the years. Russia has always tried to destroy Ukrainian culture and its creators, and there are plenty of examples of it. While the Russian writer Alexander Pushkin was free to use Russian language for his literature works, the Russian Tsar imprisoned the Ukrainian poet Taras Shevchenko. Why? Because he wrote in Ukrainian, glorified the Cossacks, and called for the Tsar's shackles to be broken. When Ukrainians wrote works appreciated in the West, Russian authorities issued the Baluyev and Ems decrees, which forbade the Ukrainian language, books, plays, etc. And today, in Ukraine's temporarily occupied eastern territories, the Russians are repressing the Ukrainian language. History is cyclical and constantly repeating itself. It sucks that we must deal with it again.
It hurts all the more as the invaders are shutting down Ukrainian media resources, dismantling Ukrainian signs and memorial boards, holding cultural events in Russian, and removing Ukrainian language books from libraries. Okay, we understood that Russians want to wipe out Ukrainian culture, but can they truly succeed? I mean...
Oh, it makes me sick to even think about that as reality. As Ukrainian culture existed for centuries, it boasts an immense collection of its authentic features that makes it so unique and recognizable, among others. Ukrainian folklore, embroidered short as a national dress, Cossacks, Kobza are examples of the uniqueness of our cultural heritage. Today, modern Ukrainian artists are becoming known worldwide. For instance, the winners of this year's Eurovision Song Contest Kalush Orchestra performed with the real ethnocode of Ukrainian music, clothes, and the embodiment of a Ukrainian woman in their song. And it made a sensation on the European stage.
Yeah, well said. The Ukrainian theme is surely the new trend in the world of fashion and culture. I remember how impressed I was when I saw May Musk, Elon Musk's mother, wearing a Ukrainian embroidered shirt. And Irtsa, do you recall how Coldplay performed the hit of Okean Elze, a famous Ukrainian rock group, at their concert in Warsaw? And if someone told me that Stephen King would tweet Slava Ukraini like 8 months ago, I would never believe it.
Slava Ukraini!
Sure thing. Now is definitely the time to revive our culture on the international stage and support our artists in their work. Let's also touch on another common stereotype about Ukrainian culture. We sometimes hear that Ukrainian culture is small and insufficient to build a large independent country. How would you comment on that?
Honestly, it's awkward that we Ukrainians, with a huge number of our world-famous artists, musicians, writers, and other talented minds, still encounter it. It pissed me off when the advisor to the head of the president's office, Oleksiy Arestovych, said that many people in Ukraine want to build a big country with a small culture. I remember the response of the famous children's writer Sashko Lirnek. He recited a story. When being at the Canadian airport, the entire shift of migration officers came to look at him because there is no such cultural phenomenon as a Kaskar, collector of fairy tales, anywhere in the world except Ukraine. Also, the Christmas carol Shadrach of Ukrainian origin sounds all around the globe. And just recently, the national Ukrainian dish, borscht, was included in UNESCO Cultural Heritage List.
Everything that you indicated, the carol Shadrach, borscht, and the Kaskar, originated long before the declaration of independence of Ukraine in 1991. The Ukrainian people have been shaping customs and folk creativity for centuries. It's like a tendency. The more Ukraine's culture thrives, the more it gets eliminated by Russia. I refer to the executed Renaissance, a large group of Ukrainian artists and writers executed by Stalin's regime in the 20s and early 30s of the 20th century. Their powerful word, resistance to communism and Soviet-free identity, didn't fit into Soviet art.
No wonder Russia ordered to shoot hundreds of them, among whom were a Ukrainian movie and theater director Les Kurbas, writers Mykola Kulish and Valerian Підмогильний, just as many other representatives of Ukrainian literature.
Indeed, yet they were not the only great Ukrainian minds who became repressed. Later on, in the 60s of the 20th century, an opposition movement of the 60s emerged. I don't know what about you, but I adore them.
Oh well, me too. They were so brave to arrange literary evenings, art exhibitions, evenings in memory of repressed artists. I especially admire poets Vasil Stus and Vasil Simonenko and an artist Alla Horska. It gives me goosebumps as I recall how all of them were murdered by Soviet totalitarian regime.
All this was done to prove Russian myths about the absence of Ukrainian culture. And now Russians conduct a cultural genocide targeting Ukrainian culture sites. According to the Ukrainian Ministry of Culture, the Russian army has partly damaged or completely destroyed over 417 cultural sites. These include churches, museums, theaters, houses of culture, schools, universities, libraries, and public space.
We may wonder, why would Russians target, say, Orthodox churches? Well, to demoralize Ukrainian citizens as religion, culture and traditions are sacred for many Ukrainians.
However, Russians don't understand that our culture has become resistant to damage.
But there is another myth that I encounter way too frequently. Russians say that Ukrainian culture doesn't exist, but meanwhile we see evidence how they loot Ukrainian museums and steal diverse artifacts. How does that play along with the claims that Ukrainian culture is not real?
Yes, we have reliable evidence that Russian soldiers were given a task to allegedly evacuate Ukrainian art pieces to temporarily occupied Crimea, Donetsk and Luhansk, or directly to Russia for their own gains. Just to give a hint of the scale, imagine that the list of stolen Ukrainian art collections is 400 pages long. Sometimes Russian soldiers get an order to steal a particular artifact or collection. Presumably, that is what happened to the worldwide famous paintings of the Red Sunset by Archip Kuinji and Near the Shores of the Caucasus by Ivan Ivazovsky from Mariupol Museum, or the Scythian Golden Collection from Melitopol.
I always wonder how come Russian imperialistic views allow them to convince the whole world that those Ukrainian artists were theirs. Like, for real, Kuinji is probably rolling in his grave hearing that Russian army destroyed his hometown Mariupol and stole all artifacts that remained there in his memory.
Of course, that's a nonsense. When will Russians finally understand that Ukrainian culture is like a phoenix, an immortal bird that cyclically regenerates or is otherwise born again? It isn't something physical or material. Our culture is in our unique mindset, respect for our traditions, and in the true love for our heritage.
That's true. I am glad there are such initiatives as Ukrainians Identity and Dignity Podcast and Save RDA led by young people. While we reveal the milestones of Ukrainian identity and break political myths about Ukraine and the ongoing war, you aim to restore destroyed architectural sites and protect our culture. Thank you for a great conversation. Slava Ukraini!
Героям слава!